In 1 Peter, verse 5 through chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, I want to look at what Peter says here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. When it comes to the devil's threats, we are to be alert and we are to be steadfast. Steadfast simply means that we're not to be moved. We're not to give in. We're not to give up. We're not to collapse under the pressure that Satan puts on us in the times of trial. And this morning, this scripture here deals with a serious subject, namely the great enemy of our souls, the devil. Peter had had his experience with the adversary. He said, the devil walks around like a roaring lion. Is the devil a real person or being? Or is the devil just an imagination? Is what the Bible teaches about Satan, is that the truth? Can we believe that? What kind of creature is our enemy? The Lord Jesus himself believed that the devil was a literal being. Why? Because he met him. The Bible tells us that he experienced literal temptation from the literal devil in the wilderness. After Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness. It says that the Spirit led him to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil came to him, but when you observe how the apostles and how Jesus, how they conversed with the devil, they never really had a conversation with the devil. They resisted him immediately. And that is the key to our victory, that we resist the enemy right from the outstart. We don't stop to talk about things with the devil. We don't discuss things with the devil. We resist him. That's what Jesus did. He resisted him with Scripture. And that's the most powerful thing we can do. We use Scripture to ward off the enemy. We use Scripture when we're tempted. When you and I are tempted, we are to use Scripture and say, the Bible says this, or God's Word says this, or the Holy Scriptures say this. And the Bible tells us here that we are to resist the enemy, our adversary. Now, the Lord himself believed that the devil was literal. It tells us it was the devil who had put it into the heart of Judah to betray Jesus. That thought, those things, did not come from God. And it says that it didn't even come from Judas himself that he would betray Jesus. It came from Satan, and Satan was able to convince Judas to betray his Lord. This is also what we read in Genesis, that the enemy came in form of a serpent, and that was the devil, and he tempted Eve. Now, Eve was totally innocent. She was totally pure. There was no fallen nature. There was no tendency to sin. But the devil came and he enticed her with words. And it was these words that he used to entangle Eve to come to the point where she not only doubted God's word, but she thought it was going to be beneficial to disobey God and eat of the fruit. This is the same old tactic that Satan is using in our day and time. And he will tempt you and he will tempt me. But it is what we are doing with it. See, Eve entered into a conversation with the devil. Eve should have said, "Now, Satan, I will not talk to you. Get away from me. You have no place in my life. I belong to God and I obey God, and I don't care what you are saying. I don't accept anything of your reasoning. I obey God." That's what she should have done. And guess what? That's what we should have done too when we were tempted, right? But oftentimes we didn't. Jesus spoke of the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now that's really something. Hell and fire and brimstone was mostly talked about by Jesus, and he said that was not prepared for humans, that was initially prepared for the devil and his angels. Let's remember that. Hell is actually originally not prepared for human beings. And it is not God's will that any should perish and go to hell, because that's where the devil will be punished for all eternity. But those that believe him and are deceived by him and do not turn back to God, there's no other way to go. That's what Jesus indicates. So Jesus told those who oppose his teaching, and this is kind of radical, in Matthew chapter 8. He told those who oppose his teaching and said, "You are of your father, the devil." Can you imagine? You know, he tells his listeners, "Look, you got it so wrong. Your father is not even God. Your father is the devil." Now, they were pretty surprised by that. They said, "No, our father is Abraham. We have Abraham as father. Abraham, yes, yes, he was a good man. He's our father." He said, no. "You don't believe my words. Abraham would believe my words, and you're not doing that because your real father is the devil who deceives you." And then he talks about how the devil is. He said he was a murderer from the beginning. And he does not stand in the truth. The devil will never tell you the truth. Now, does he know the truth? Yeah. Will he tell you the truth in part? Yes. But not the whole truth. He will tell you enough truth so that you start to follow him, that you start to believe him until you are deceived. And then it says, because there is not truth in him. Our adversary, the devil, who walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, he has no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. How many people go around believing lies? How many children of God or Christians go around believing lies that are not rooted in God's word, but Satan somehow has deceived them and they believe the lies? And their faith is shattered as a result of it. I think it's very dangerous, a very dangerous thing to deny that the devil exists. To say there is no devil, there is no enemy, to actually underestimate him is also dangerous. And we shouldn't overestimate him either. Because if we give in to the devil, if we give him too much attention and too much credit, he loves it. But if we see him who he really is, that he is not our friend, he will never be our friend, he will always seek our destruction and our misery, he will always seek to bring us against God, to drown us in unbelief and doubting, but that we see him as defeated by Jesus Christ. The devil cannot deceive us with lies if we stand fast, if we are steadfast, or if we are alert. In the scriptures, we're told that the devil is the real enemy behind all of the struggles of faith. Paul wrote this, and we have read part of it already. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What does that tell you? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That means focus on Christ, not the devil. You don't focus on the enemy. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All his scheming and planning and all his manipulative ways that he has. We are to put a whole armor on that we can stand against him. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't have people as enemies, but we stand against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. The devil is the ruler of this world of darkness. And Jesus, he said, I have come to cast out the devil. In a way, he's still the ruler. Whoever believes him, whoever embraces his lies and his deception, is basically conquered by the enemy. And as the Apostle Paul puts it, he is the God of this age. And that is of this whole present unbelieving world system that sets itself against God and against everything that is godly. The devil is behind it. You know, when laws are tightened against Christians, as there is something now, this is the way I understand it. Correct me later if you want to, but this is what I read yesterday. That if you don't believe in the moral goodness of abortion, the students cannot have funds for summer jobs. You gotta believe it. You gotta believe what the government tells you. And I say this, we don't need their money. We can find jobs otherwise without compromising our beliefs. But you know who is behind this? We say, oh yeah, that's the primaries, that's the liberals, that's these people, that's these people. No, the enemy is behind it. The enemy is sowing the seed of unrighteousness, the seed of immorality, the seed of corruption and destruction. The enemy is behind it. And I think it's time that God's people are truly alert. And this is actually the first subject that I will touch on next Sunday. I see already that my time is almost up. That we need to be alert in the sense aware that the enemy is doing all this. He cannot touch us as long as we keep close to God. Will he try? Absolutely. He will try to tempt us. He will try to discourage you. He will try to do all those things. But be not dismayed. You and I are called to stand up against the enemy and to start praying against the principalities that would have people in darkness, that would keep people captive in their sins and godlessness. We need to pray against the devil over people that I'm just furious with him because I just say we need to declare, the Lord will give victory and he will defeat the enemy because we have the boldness. And guess what? In 1 John, we read that Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. And we need to pray that. We need to be bold and say, no, this person and this area and this church and this pastor or whatever it is, we cannot give in. We need to get back what hell has stolen from us. And hell and the devil has stolen so many precious souls and precious lives. And we need to pray against it. And I think if all of God's people would pray against the principalities and its powers, that God can do things. God can bring defeat to the enemy, not to God's people. So my point in this is that we not only want to survive as God's church, as God's people, we want to go out and make a difference through our prayers, through our attitudes. We want to make a difference in the sense that we pray, Lord, let your mighty power come and destroy these dark forces and let your light of the gospel shine in and change and transform lives. That's God's will. It's always God's will. Paul wrote this, even if our gospel is veiled, and veiled means simply hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. I would like you to study this scripture this week. That is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. The God of this age has blinded those who do not believe. It's like a veil that is hanging in front of their hearts. And you can talk to them the truth. You can do all the things. It's so clear to you. And you wonder, you're so frustrated. Well, it's so clear. It says here in the Bible, I believe it and I know this is true. Why can't these people believe it? Because the veil is in front of their hearts. People don't come to Christ because of the veil is in front of their hearts. Paul wrote in regards to the end times, and that's the time we live in now. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. That means that we will see wonders and miracles that are actually deceptive. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So Satan goes around like a roaring lion. We need to resist him. But we need to be alert. And being alert requires that we watch and pray. For the hour of testing is coming. And you may be tested and tempted this year. You may be tempted this year to give up. You may be tempted in many, many ways. Satan will never rest. And when you think that you got it all, he will come in a different way. Next time, next Sunday, I'd like to share a story about the illustration how Satan is like a lion. and how lions work and how destructive and how terrifying they can be. May God bless his word this morning. Amen. Let's stand for prayer.